Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And today we will be continuing our study of Genesis. And actually, we're doing a recap, right, Lauren?
Yes, of what we've studied already.
Okay, if you want to get started on prayer.
Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us together here today again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that you've given us. And please continue to give us wisdom and open our eyes and our ears so that we understand your word, but and also learn from it, and so we can teach the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so we're going to do a recap before we get into Joseph, because we see that there's a lot that has happened in just the chapters that we've read, and that how much there is to learn there. So we'll do a recap, and then we'll discuss it as we go, as we see how things played out for all the couples and their families and what we've learned from it. And we'll go from there. So, and I wanted to say that anybody who's listening to us, that feel free to go, you know, we're doing the study for the first time ourselves. And a lot of, like, this was new to me. I hadn't done Genesis. I had not dissected Genesis before. So if you think we are saying something wrong, like, go and check, you know, do your own checks and go look in the Bible and see what you get from it, and what your take is on it. You know, we're doing the best we can, and we feel God is leading us here. But for sure, go and do your checks too, as we read, in case we misspeak of something. But we try and get it right, and we pray on it, and we hope to learn from it. So so I'm gonna start from the beginning with the creation, with Adam and Eve, our first couple. And I think what I got from Adam and Eve in the beginning, which I think that where we fail sometimes now in our times, is that they don't realize that the enemy is already there, that the enemy was already there when God created them. And how this obedience and disobedience had already come into play. God had told them, don't do this, do this, you know? And so, and because of their disobedience, you know, Eve goes and eats from the tree that she wasn't supposed to, because she's deceived by the enemy. Then Adam follows her into that sin.
And you know, one thing too is, look how easily it was.
Yes.
You know, when you distance yourself from God, see how easy it is to fall for that temptation. Think for the promises, like, oh, it's going to taste good.
Right. You know? If the flesh, right. Giving into the flesh because she wanted that knowledge, right? Because the enemy had told her, you'll get that, all the knowledge that you want from
and you'll be
that
like God.
Tree. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's what the devil does, right? That's how he defeats us, is by deception. Deception. Right. So, and then Adam, instead of going to God, knowing that Eve was wrong, he follows her into sin, you know?
Right.
And I think that applies in our relationships today, in our marriages. If we see that our spouse is doing wrong, then we should take that to God and not follow them into sin. You know, we should turn to God, no matter how big or small, turn to right. God and ask for his guidance and discernment. So right. I think that those are things that we can learn from Adam and Eve. And then,
and, you know, I think, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Say another thing is, you know, once they made that mistake, right away, we should always know to repent and get back in alignment, you know,
yes.
Ask for forgiveness with God, which they didn't.
Right. They didn't. They hid.
Well, as far as we know, right?
Yeah. Well, they hid. They remember, they go and they hide from God. But to remember, what I was reading today was how Jesus came looking for them. Even after they sinned and what they did, Jesus came looking for them, because remember, they're in the garden and right. He says, where are you and why are you hiding? So Jesus comes looking for them. So even when they sin, Jesus does come looking for them. And we say Jesus because we're gonna as we've read, we see that Jesus is in Genesis, even in the Old Testament, and as early as Adam and Eve. So so there we have, that's what we've learned from Adam and Eve. And then they have Cain. So they've opened the door to sin. Now there's sin, and the consequences of that is, they see it in Cain and Abel, because then Cain kills Abel,
his brother.
And then, but then the first revival or the first reboot that we get is from Adam's other son, Seth.
Right.
Because from Seth is where Noah comes from. But we know that with Seth, there's already that they are walking with God again. They're walking with God because from there also comes Enoch. And Enoch is the one that is walking with God, and then God takes him.
By the time Cain and Abel happened, and then Adam and Eve had another son, do you think by that point we can assume maybe they did make things right with God, where he blessed them again and try to make things right?
After Cain and Abel?
Right. Because,
I would hope so, because it shows that with Seth, With Seth, they were with God again. So I would hope so, because I believe that Cain and Abel, that was the consequences of
from their sin,
right. From their first sin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So so then now we have that's where Noah comes from. So we have Seth, and Noah comes from the line of Seth. But when we get to Noah, we see that things have again gone already bad again. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in between there, then things are bad again. And we know that the enemy is still there, because God tells us how in Genesis 6, how there's the, what are they called? The Nephilim, the, it's the sons of God and the daughters of mankind. And these were demonized men whose sexual intimacy with women led to a demonized society. So we see that things are already, people are wicked, and they're doing horrible things, and how the world's turned really, really bad again. And so God wants to start over. So we have.
What chapter was that one in?
That was chapter six. Genesis 6. So then
and on verse 6 it says the Lord regretted that he made man on earth and was deeply grieved.
Right.
So that just shows how wicked was widespread throughout the land.
Yep.
So it wasn't even like this little town, it was everywhere.
So God regrets that he made mankind, like you had said, and so now he wants to do a fresh start. So he warns Noah that there's a flood coming, and Noah is the only one that he can find that's still following God. And so he warns Noah of the flood that's coming, tells him to build an ark and to bring his family, leave everything and everyone else behind. He brings the animals, right? So so he reveals his plan to Noah, and so Noah builds the ark, and he saves his family. And here again, it's only Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. So it's one husband, one wife, we don't have the multiple wives yet. And then from after Noah and his family comes, Abraham and Sarah.
Yes.
So then from Abraham and Sarah, then there is where we're going to start seeing. Oh, before I forget, with Noah, so Noah and his family is saved, but then Noah curses his son Canaan. So they get away, you know, they escape the flood and all the wicked people and all that. But then as they start repopulating, and Noah in his carelessness and drunkenness,
his son Ham,
you know, finds them drunk and naked, and then they make fun of him, and so Noah curses his son. Or I'm sorry, curses his grandson, Canaan, because Canaan is Ham's Ham's son. Yeah. So okay. And so then after that comes the Babylon, the Tower of Babylon. Yep. After that comes the Tower of Babylon. So we find now there's the curse, and so now we find that there's all this wickedness again, and people, I remember they built the Tower of Babylon because they're getting away from God. And they think that, you know, where if another flood comes, we're going to be ready. We don't have to worry about God because we can save ourselves. And they think, you know, they can control everything. You know, their pride, the power and all that comes into play, and they're all wicked again. And then comes Abraham. So from there, then God calls Abraham and Sarah. But God tells Abraham, leave everything behind. Kind of like Noah again.
Right.
Leave everything behind, right? He's like, we're going to do I want to do a fresh start again. Leave everyone behind. You and Sarah. And he tells them, get out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So this is God making this promise to Abraham, which later is Abraham, to leave everything behind. You and Sarah, come, we're going to start over. God wants to do another reboot. Because remember, after the flood, God regretted the flood and wiping everybody out. And he said he would never do that again.
Right.
So here he sees that, you know, everybody's lost and wicked again. So he wants to try again with them, with Abram. So, but Abram is disobedient. He brings his nephew Lot with him. So again, here we see where, you know, disobeying God is never a good idea.
No.
So then he disobeys God. He brings his nephew Lot, and Lot only ends up.
And his father too.
And his father. Mm-hmm. And this only ends up causing delays. Yeah. Delays and detours, because he ends up having to rescue Lot twice. Mm-hmm. And then, so they're just distractions, delays, and detours, right?
Right.
So then from Abraham and Sarah, and then Sarah was, it was only Abraham and Sarah, but mm-hmm. Sarah was barren. She couldn't have any babies.
Right. And so she did have a maid, right? So it was, Sarah had a maid as well. So it was Abraham and Sarah.
Right. It was Abraham and Sarah, but they had, she had her, what is it, maid?
Or what do they call them? Slave?
Servant.
Or slave. Yeah. Servant. There you go.
But you know, now that you mentioned that, I'm wondering if she was barren because they were going the wrong way and he didn't want the kids born there, you know?
Could have been.
Maybe that's what he made, made her barren, because I think that's
maybe because too. Maybe because he was already disobeying God from the beginning,
right?
So, and then we learned through Abraham and Sarah that God controls the womb,
so
maybe, you know, that God controls the womb, and
we see that several times.
Yes, and going back to Adam and Eve, remember he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful, right? To mm-hmm. he basically tells them, like, this is your kingdom, kind of like I'm making you, you know, you're the king of this land. You're, you know, you have all have children and you take over, you know, I'm giving you all of this, you know, and trust me, I'm going to take care of you. Anything comes up, you come to me. Right.
Right. Right.
And so then with Abraham and Sarah, well, we see where he keeps trying to start over. And then we're on our Abraham and Sarah are what couple? They're already like our third couple, because it's because we have Adam and Eve,
the third
and then
one.
We have Noah and his wife, and now we have Abraham and Sarah. So here we are on the third couple. We're trying to do
only,
a fresh
so
start.
Far it's only one wife, right?
That yeah, it's there's still help. One husband yeah. and one right. wife. Mm-hmm. So, but Sarah is barren, and then God promises Abraham, you know, I'm gonna bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I will make you into a great nation. So then Abraham tells God, but I don't have anyone. You're giving me all of this, but you're not, you know, Sarah can't have children. So I have no one to leave this to. And right. so, and God tells him, you're going to have many, offspring. You're going to have offspring as many as the stars, you know, you're going to have, which is what God wants, right? He wants a family and he wants godly offspring. He wants godly right. children.
There you go. That's right. why I think he was holding off on Sarah, because until they're in alignment with them, he wasn't going to bless them. But that's
right. Until they were. No, and yeah. that makes sense.
That makes
you
sense.
Know, because mm-hmm. you're they're still because had she had children back then maybe nothing would have changed. You know, they right. still weren't where God wanted them to be.
Right.
So, but then Sarah is, remember, they're in their 90s, and then Sarah can't have children, and mm-hmm. they get tired of waiting. So then Sarah suggests that Abraham sleep with Hagar, the right. servant. And then Abraham, here we go again, you know, the woman leading the man.
Down
into sin, yes, but Abraham should have known better and said, no, that's not what God right. said, or Abraham should have gone to God, I believe this isn't right, you know,
right.
God, what do I do? You promised me right. offspring, now I have Sarah, you know, over here, doesn't want to wait
exactly.
anymore, she went.
And I think even though we don't see or read about the enemy, he's right there too, I'm sure.
Oh, he's there, because he's influenced, yeah.
Here. Like, yep. hey, you know, she can have a child. She and then there goes all the bad things, you know. So
right.
we still see the enemy. We just don't see him.
Right. He's there because it shows where
right.
Where it said in Genesis that they're still there. Like they remain those days and afterwards. It said that Nephilim were on the earth both in those days and afterwards. So they're there. You know,
yeah.
the enemy still has an influence on the people, right?
Right.
So yep. then, here we, you know, Abraham, they're falling into sin. Sarah tells Abraham to now commit adultery and sleep with Hagar, and Hagar has a son, Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want to point out that how God was throughout, you know, God, Abraham knew God was there because God was speaking to him on, you know, mm-hmm. as he's on his journey. So, so Abraham had access to God and he was talking to God. And then, but we don't see where Abraham goes to God for the big things, but not for the marriage things, right?
Right.
And I don't think we see that in any no. of these, that neither one goes to God about their spouse.
No.
Right? Because they don't have any example, you know, they don't have any other couple to like an example of a
right.
couple. And you know, but the men go to God about the whales, about their enemies, about the battles, and about all those things. But they don't go to God about their their spouses, women, about women. Their family, you know, about their family and about their children. Right. So then we have, okay, so now we're with Abraham and Sarah. Abraham commits adultery, has the baby with Hagar, mm-hmm. with the permission of Sarah. And then after that, then that begins issues with Sarah. So now Sarah is upset. Now Sarah is unhappy because, you know, Hagar has a baby now from Abraham, and she thinks that Hagar is getting more attention from Abraham. So there starts all of that. And we see that now. We see that now where there's, you know, couples, and then there's new wives or new husbands. And we see that that envy starts, that competition starts, you know. That's been happening. We see that in Genesis. So then after that, then Sarah, God reassures Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And actually Jesus visits Abraham. Mm-hmm. And tells him Sarah's going to have a son by this time next year. And Sarah laughs because she doesn't believe it. But she does have a son, Isaac.
Yes.
And then when Isaac is born, then Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael away.
Away, yeah. But, you know, just want to say before that, if we look at chapter 17, that right there too is where God, he confirms his covenant with Abraham. So not only does he bless him with the child, but he's also bringing him in, and we see a covenant here with him as well.
Right, right. And he keeps, you know, and that's the thing about when you talk to God, like he reassures you. And we talked about that in our last podcast too. Like he repeats his promise to you, you know, if you had that relationship to God, he reassures you, like, I promise you this, and I'm going to keep my promise. So yeah, thank you, Yvette. Yes, because he does. And then, so Sarah laughs, but then she does conceive. She conceives a baby and she has Isaac. And now they send Hagar and Ishmael away, you know? And God still blessed them, you know, he still blessed them, and Ishmael still did well, but that couldn't have been easy, you know, because he sent them away. Now, Hagar, Ishmael doesn't have his father, Abraham, and Abraham's inheritance goes to Isaac. It doesn't go to Ishmael, you know, so, and that just goes to show how having,
A second family
doesn't, you know, it's, there's consequences for that, you know?
Right. But we can also see only God can fix those, you know, because we talk about that too.
How you have
this other spouse, these other children, and it's such a, you know, Nina calls it like a web, you know, spider web. And so how do you untangle that web, you know? And so we see here, God told Abraham to send her on her way. Don't worry, mm-hmm. I'll take care of them. So we know Abraham didn't make that decision on his own, or Sarah didn't either. God made that decision.
Yes.
And they need to be obedient. And that's why, you know, he sent her away too.
Yes. Yes. No, and I agree. And I think that's the only way, because we can't do that. You know, we make a mess of our lives, and only God can help us through that.
Right.
Okay, so then now Hagar and Ishmael are sent away, and we're back to Abraham and Sarah, and they have Isaac now. Now here with Isaac, Abraham does go to God and pray for a wife for Isaac. And so he sends a servant to go find the wife for Isaac. And he does. God sends them Rebecca.
Yes.
He finds Rebecca for Isaac. And then again, the God reaffirms the promise through Isaac.
Yeah.
And so now we have Isaac and Rebecca with the promise that God made to Abraham. So, and then after, and then with Isaac and Rebecca, we still have one husband right. and one wife.
Right.
Yep. So,
and just to say, for you know, just to mention on here, Abraham did right by not sending his son from the land. He sent his servant.
Right.
Away.
He sent his servant to find. Saying, yeah, because he told them right? he. Because and when we learned about Abraham and Sarah, he brought them to the promised mm-hmm. land, and he told them, don't leave here, don't go back to where you came from, because right. they were doing they weren't following God. They were pagan and they weren't following God. So he told Abraham, don't leave. He brought them out of that land. He told him, don't leave here, don't go back. So he sends his servant to go find the wife for Isaac. Yeah, very good point. And so then, so now we have Isaac and Rebecca. Mm-hmm. But here, and remember that with Abraham and Sarah, like Abraham went through a lot of learning, a lot of trials and tests from God, and a lot of learning from there, because he had a lot of detours. And God did test his faith with Isaac, to where Abraham trusts God enough that he was willing to give up his son, Isaac. So Abraham did make a lot of mistakes, but then he did return to God, and he did get aligned with God. And so he was able, and because of that, he was able to pass that inheritance down to Isaac. And so now we have Isaac and Rebecca, and again, one man, one woman, and mm-hmm. and then they have twins, Jacob and Esau. And this is where things start getting really complicated again. So they have twin boys. And but we see where the some of the parenting changes, and where, you know, did Isaac and Rebecca make the best choices? Because we see mm-hmm. that they choose right away, they choose favorites between the,
and, you know,
the
can
two
I just
sons.
Add, we didn't talk about it, but what you just said, where we see how the parents kind of do their own thing, because at the end of for Abraham and Sarah, I don't know if it's before she gets or when she's pregnant or after, you know, she finally submits to her husband. And I think that's big, because it showed how they became one together to follow God.
Who was that?
Sarah and Abraham.
Oh, hey, Sarah and Abraham. Oh, okay.
Yes.
No, yeah, you're right. It took them a while, but at the end they did.
It took them a while.
And the scripture does say that to follow. The only time it says it is to be like Sarah, for women is to be like Sarah, who submitted to her husband.
Yes. Yes.
That's who we should want to be like. Want to be like as women, as wives. So
And I'll have to look for that before we're done, and I can, you know, say which chapter and verse. But I thought that was important.
Yes.
Because I think with Isaac and Rebecca, we won't see that.
No. Nope. You're right. And that just goes to show, because if we can learn from this, like by reading the scripture, we can learn from this and not make the same mistakes they did, then why waste any time, you know, taking those detours and making those huge mistakes, because there is consequences. And we see through scripture how the consequence, not only are there blessings passed down, but so are the consequences, you know, right. So are the curses.
Yes.
So, so then Isaac and Rebecca, they have twin boys, Jacob and Esau. And then they choose favorites. Isaac's favorite is Esau, and Rebecca's is Jacob. And we don't see too early on in scripture that they're following God, or just like in the way that Abraham did, because Abraham, you know, towards the end, he made an altar for God. He, you know, learned to go to God. He learned to trust God. And we don't see that early in Isaac's and Rebecca's lives. So, right. And I think that that's a big mistake, you know, that's not good, because we need God to guide us early in our marriages, because the enemy's already there. So the enemy's already trying to find, you know, a way to break up the family, because God wants godly children. And so the enemy doesn't want to. Yes.
Yep. To have your favorite of your children, that's already a division that you don't even see coming.
Exactly. Yep. Division, because unity is huge. And we see that here, how important unity is, you know, in the family, yeah, sticking together, because the enemy comes in all shapes and sizes, you know, right, and unity, right, is very important.
Yes.
So then we have Jacob and Esau. Now with Jacob is the favorite son. For Rebecca, but he has, you know, a bad side to him, because we learned that later he takes his brother's birthright, mm-hmm, and blessing, yeah, which is his inheritance, and he deceives his father to get that, and yeah, and then later on Esau,
with his mom's help,
yep. So we see that there's no good guidance there, you know, no, from Rebecca and Isaac. Rebecca. And then we see that how careless Esau is with his birthright and,
right,
inheritance that his own brother is able to steal that from him. Yep. And then then Jacob has to flee the land that God told him not to leave. So then Jacob has to flee because he's running from his own brother. So we already see, right, this huge division. You have a family, mm-hmm, and God has blessed them with riches. You know, they have a lot. By this time, they have accumulated a lot of riches. You know, they have animals, they have land, they have,
right,
all kinds of stuff.
Everything.
And
mm-hmm,
everything. And, but yet their family is divided. Right. So Jacob flees, but in Bethel, it's where he has the dream of the ladder, the ladder and the angels going up and down. And here Jesus speaks to Jacob. It's another of where we see Jesus in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And he promises Jacob the same promise he made to his father, Isaac, and his grandfather, Abraham. So here, yeah, God, Jesus appears to him and he reaffirms that promise. But Jacob, instead of, because Bethel is where Jacob comes, God brings Jacob back to Bethel. So here he sees, mm-hmm, God in Bethel, but for some reason, Jacob decides to keep moving. He puts a rock and he says, this is a great place. This is where God is. And God tells him, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I'm going to be with you and I'm going to provide for you and all that. And Jacob decides, right, to keep moving. Leaves the land and then meets Rachel. He meets Rachel. He does not pray about a wife. He meets Rachel, falls in love with how she looks.
At the first sight.
Mm-hmm. At first sight, yep, falls in love. Falls in love and kind of becomes obsessed, I think, with her. I don't know if it's love or obsession, because he doesn't know her. He sees her, he wants her. And, right, and he goes to Rachel's father and he says that he'll work for 7 years to get Rachel. But then,
right,
Laban, Rachel's father, deceives them and gives them Rachel's sister instead, Leah, as a wife. Mm-hmm.
The older sister, right.
The older sister. And Jacob accepts this, promises, mm-hmm, another 7 years, because Laban tells him, if you stay another 7 years, then I'll give you Rachel. And
didn't
Jacob,
he say that could have been his payback, right? He did,
right, because he deceived
his
dad. Right. Well, and he deceived his brother twice.
Yes.
Because he, for his birthright and for his inheritance, for his blessing. Mm-hmm. So here he pays for it twice for a wife. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So Jacob ends up working 14 years for Leah and for Rachel, and Laban takes advantage of all that Jacob is doing, because
Right.
God doesn't remove his blessing from Jacob while he's in this land where he's not supposed to be. He still has God's blessing. He's still, you know, with the accumulating a lot of riches, you know, with the animals and the land. And Laban is taking advantage of that and wants to keep, deceives Jacob into staying. And and now he has these two wives. So now we have Jacob, one husband, two wives. And we see that that goes nowhere good.
No.
Because no. Leah never feels that she's never loved by Jacob.
Right.
And Leah gives Jacob many sons, but Rachel is not able to give Jacob any sons until later.
Right.
And so that creates this bad relationship of competition and envy between the two sisters.
Right.
And Jacob doesn't really seem committed to either one, you know, and he's being robbed by Laban, their father.
Right. But you know, you said that God continues blessing him, right? But we still see, yes, things still go good for him, but on the flip side, all this bad is happening to you.
Yeah, and the family.
So it just shows that we're going to get our judgment, right? Or like our, our consequences for the sins. Okay.
Yep. That, yeah, oh, definitely. The consequences are still there, you know, because had Jacob prayed for his wife, first, Jacob shouldn't have left the land, you know. And, well, it was like one thing after another because he had to leave the land because he deceived his father and his brother. So he's he has God's blessings, but he doesn't go to God about his wife. You know, the like important things, like we say, they're, they're going, we see that the men are going to God about the their work, you know, about their work, the but land. You know that
he deceived his brother, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like payback. He was deceived with these two women, right? So these are the consequences of his.
Yes.
Earlier actions, like everything, you know, comes back.
No, it's definitely coming back. And so then we see there's no peace there. It doesn't look like he has any peace or joy because he has these two women that are at it. They're very jealous of each other because one can have children and the other cannot. Right. So Jacob has no joy or peace there.
And we see that nowadays, you know, we're married. Like, married couples do choose to have these affairs or whatever. You can't have peace. There won't be peace.
There won't be peace because you have the women, you have those spouses fighting and you have, you know, you're divided. Right. Your heart is divided, you know?
Right.
And you can't make either one happy, it seems, you know?
Yeah.
So there we see that things are not going well for Jacob. And then from, and then Esau ends up marrying women from the land which God had told him, do not marry any of the women. Right. Do not marry your daughters, your sons with the daughters from here, from where they were, because they didn't follow God. And Esau not only married one, he married many wives from the land.
Right.
But that,
you know, it's crazy to think their parents didn't. Isaac only had his one wife. So it's not like they learned it from their parents.
No. Well, and how careless they were that Isaac and Rebecca were with their children and who they married. You know, it seemed like they weren't a part of that. Like they didn't guide them towards who they should marry, you know?
Right.
And so so now you have Jacob with two wives and you have Esau with many wives. And Esau has married many wives from that land where he wasn't supposed to marry women from. And Esau, and it says in the scripture where Esau, that caused Isaac and Rebekah many headaches. So with Jacob, so I think, because with Jacob, and then later Rachel dies first, but she has two sons from Jacob, and that's Joseph and Benjamin. And then in our next podcast, we're going to be talking about Joseph and God working through him because the promise then goes to Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Jacob, we can't forget that each of his wives gave him their slaves. So not only did he have the two sisters, but he also had two more. So I guess
he had two more slaves. So he had four women. He had four wives, and he had children from all of them.
All of them.
But that's the thing, that he had all those sons, but then we see that not all of them got the inheritance. You know, that God, the inheritance still only goes to the right. You know, like to one. Well, I don't know, because we're going to see,
why did he pick Joseph from Rachel?
I think, didn't we kind of think
that Leah was the first?
He was, she was his true love, right? So I think maybe because it took so long for her to conceive, maybe he favored that son?
Well, because remember, and Joseph had a gift, so I think it had to do with Joseph's heart.
Okay.
I think it had to do with David, Joseph's heart. Right.
Even like David and his kids.
Right. And his kids. I think, he picked out of all the sons. Because he wanted to marry Rachel.
Yeah, because it was already a mess, you know?
It was already a mess.
It was a mess.
And, you know, I guess we'll never understand God's plan. But we see how he had big plans for Joseph, but Jesus comes from Judah's line. So you would have thought he would have came from Joseph's line, but he doesn't. And he doesn't come from Rachel's line. He comes from Leah.
From Leah's line. You're right. So you're right. So you see.
There it is. Yeah.
What we don't expect from God, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and it goes to show, we don't, because God knows the heart, and so I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah,
that we don't know, but you remember the brothers from all of Jacob's children, they're all, you know, they don't like Joseph, and then they end up trying to kill Joseph. So here you have now all these brothers that instead of looking out for each other, they're envious of each other. You know that up to where they even plot trying to kill Joseph, and so that kind of all the way back to Cain and Abel, where Cain kills Abel, and then you have Esau trying to kill
Jacob,
and now you have Jacob's sons trying to kill Joseph, plotting to kill Joseph. So but if I were to go back and look at all these I would say that here we can already see how important obedience is. You know, obedience is where God is very clear and he tells them what is right and what is wrong, you know?
Right.
And to have the fear of God in the sense that if you're disobedient, there's going to be consequences for that, because I don't think we hear enough of that. We don't hear enough of the consequences that when we are obedient, there's blessings for us. But when we're disobedient, there's curses for us.
Right. And we see that. And you can see where all the disconnect when it comes to God. And then you can see that what they all have in common, all the disobedience part brought them, you know, not good stuff, you know.
And then we see
how many couples till we finally see multiple wives?
It was three with Abraham. And then after Abraham, it was Isaac. So it was four couples. And then the fifth couple was where the many wives started. Because it was with Jacob.
Okay.
With Leah and Rachel.
So from we see the original couple, you know, Adam and Eve, God made one man, one woman. So where'd that get distorted, right?
because I think it has a lot to do with parenting. I think that we as parents have a responsibility to pass, you know, what God has told us and what we've learned from God to our children, you know, because if we don't teach them that, then they're going and they're doing their own thing. So I think we have there's a huge responsibility there. Because I see it as God's through my journey, mm-hmm. that God was trying to do a reset in my marriage, you know? And so he's kind of pulling me out because we're not living the way we're supposed to. Yeah, we're not where we need to be. And there's sin and there's, you know, we're not doing things as God would want us to be. And we weren't, you know, there's a lot of things that I've learned now looking back.
Right.
Where I had gotten away from God. I had strayed from God. And so I could see now where he kind of pulled me away and said, leave everything behind, you know, leave everything behind. We need to start over here because your marriage is not where it needs to be. And where I had the choice, like Abraham, okay, what am I bringing with me? You know, am I bringing, am I bringing baggage with me, or am I going to trust God to start over and do a reset and put me where I need to be?
The only thing you're bringing with you is Jesus.
Right.
That's it.
And this is me and you. We're not going to worry about your husband. We're not going to worry about your children. It's me and you. You need to trust me because we need to do a reset, you know? So your family might be in the middle of a chaos, in the middle of a storm where things aren't going well, but he's trying to do a reset. And where I'm having to go through all my trials and tests to get me right with God, where I can trust him, where I can get to the promised land that he promised to me, and all my, you know, all the blessings that come with that, so that I can pass them out down to my children and the next generation.
Right.
But, and then like Abraham, there is a lot of mistakes made and all that, but God, you know, he kept returning to God. We saw that where all of these men, when they returned to God, where he put them right, you know, where they were supposed to be.
And, you know, with
Jacob, and he blessed them.
Yeah. And we didn't mention it, but, you know, one of the things with Jacob, he wrestled with Jesus. So Jesus not only brought him to his knees, but
he put him in the head. I wrestled. Boy, did I wrestle. I wrestled for a long time. I wrestled for like a year before I was finally tired enough to say, okay, God, show me.
Right. Yeah.
And then it was where I started learning, like, that's not what I meant for you. That's not what I meant for your marriage. This is what I want for you. Because he tells them over and over, I will bless you. Don't have any fear. I'm going to protect you. Don't not be afraid. I'm going to provide for you. And we see where he does. And we see that where they went to him, that he guided them, you know, in which way to go. But I think that we all come to this crossroad, you know. And let God do that reset.
And I think for what you said, if each parent here, if Abraham would have shared with his son and his son shared with his boys, for like you, you know, you went through your journey, you wrestled for so long. But for me, it's almost as you were my parent to guide me. So my wrestle didn't last as long.
Yes. Yep.
So yep. I think you're right. And you said this before. This is a perfect example of parenting right here.
Yes.
Parenting 101, you know?
Well, because it's, man, I bet I'm going to be praying for my, you know, I have three girls. I'm going to be praying for them and that God sends their spouses, you know? And that, and I'm going to tell them over and over and over until it's engraved in their heads, whether they want to hear it or not, about God's blessings and how when we disobey that, you know, there's consequences for that you can either choose his blessings or his curses, but where he's kept his promises. And he has, I mean, I can testify to that over and over for what he's done in my family already. And I'm sure my girls can see that. And in the end, it's their choice. But I think that, I mean, here, if I can take anything from it, from Genesis, is that God intended for us to be blessed here in this world, you know, even with the enemy, because the enemy has no authority over us. He can try, you know, he can try with his deception. And sometimes we do fall into that. But if we go to God every time for the big or the small, then he will rescue us and he will restore us.
I agree. And, you know, one of the things I tell my daughters, too, is, you know, I think we need to learn from Jacob here. Between Leah And Rachel, you can't fall for someone for like by the looks and the flesh.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You have to let God bring, because no matter what Jacob wanted, we all agreed that Leah still came in the picture because that's who God intended.
Intended, so right?
To pray and wait on him to bring us the spouse who we're intended to have. And I see that, you know, for my journey, my husband was one way. And then God said, well, this is the person you're going to be with. And it wasn't a different person. It wasn't out of my marriage. It was the same man I married, but he's who he was meant to be.
Right. And, yes.
You know?
I agree.
So we and it was patience, right? 20 years. 23 years. But, you know, God brought whom he intended for me. And so I tell the girls, pray on it. Let God bring you the spouse you were meant to be with. Don't just fall for looks, because look at Jacob. That's a perfect example.
Yeah, because I think had Jacob gone to God about his wife, I think that he would have pointed him to Leah, and Rachel probably would have never been in the picture. You know, like he wouldn't have had his heart wouldn't have been divided.
Mm-hmm. Because her heart wasn't very good. Wasn't very nice.
No, it wasn't. Nope. Mm-hmm. And also because Rachel had other gods. She's the one that brought the other gods with them, and then later on that, you know, it caused for Dinah to be raped, and it caused a lot of problems on their journeys. So it's important, very important, that we pray about our spouses, because I lost my train of thought. He wouldn't have wasted those 14 years. He wasted 14 years under Laban taking advantage of him and with doing hard labor, you know, like it was, he worked hard for 14 years and never, you know, where he could have gotten Leah, went back to the other land and continued to be blessed and, you know, and grow and be happy, because it seems like he was never happy. He never got to enjoy.
No.
And you can see the family of Rachel. I mean, the dad could have said, no, take your wife and that's it, go. But they were deceiving that whole family.
They were deceiving him. Yes.
Right. Didn't at one point we read where Rachel was even upset telling Jacob, like, I can't have kids. And he's like, don't look at me. That's God, right?
Yeah, right. Where God controls the womb. And that's another thing. I'm glad you brought up the womb again, because it shows where God controls the woman. I think that's very important, especially if you're struggling in your marriage, whether to have children or not, or if you have a husband or a spouse that has strayed, you know, that God protects, that God closes their womb, you know, so that there's no children born out of wedlock, and so that your marriage can be restored. So that was a big one for me.
And also for abortion, those struggling whether to decide whether or not that,
or whether
that
or not to have the yours. Yeah,
that womb is not yours. So
yeah. Oh, very good point. Yep. So no, a lot there in Genesis, and this is, I mean, we're just a little over halfway through, but there's so much there, and so much guidance. God never left them. You know, had they gone to God more, I think things might have been a little bit different. But what God intended for marriage was something beautiful and full of blessings. And we can still have that. You know, that door's not closed. We can still have that now if we go to him.
Exactly.
Well, such, and that's good, a good, like you mentioned, Genesis is, you know, parenting 101, marriage 101.
Yes.
Family 101. Yes. So if anybody, you know, there you go. That's the way it started in the beginning.
And I think it also obedience, you know, we have to learn from their mistakes on
obedience,
you know, to go to God for everything, not just the big stuff like Lorena mentioned. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we all want to flourish with God, right?
Yes.
Most definitely. Are we ready for closing?
Okay. We are.
I have Psalms 52. But I am like a flourishing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in God's faithful love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done in the presence of your faithful people. I will put my hope in your name, for it is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you next week.